Hey guys, what's going on? This is going to be part one of a two-part series recorded on December 29th, 2024. It's going to be pretty much how to delete yourself from the internet and why you should take into consideration rejecting social norms, and pretty much removing big chunks, like I guess like realistic ways to remove big chunks of the you from the internet, maintain your privacy, and threat modeling. And we're gonna go over like some of these topics in a sense, and what are they, how to judge them, and coming from a normie. Me, a normie, a person that's pretty normie, how I achieved better privacy by rejecting certain social norms that we've turned to, and how I also found services that masked my privacy a lot better, from free tools and then tools that you pay for. And I will link in the description a good chunk of these tools as well. Now, one thing to keep in mind is first you have to, this is going to go kind of like in stages. First, you're going to have to assess your digital garage, your collection. I kind of looked like, I look at the digital collection of stuff like from social media accounts down to we call apps that I need that have my information and gift cards, rewards cards, points, stuff that like that. First, you need to assess like who has your information, what has your information. I say make a checklist. I think that's like the best thing to do is make a checklist of what informations and services have your information, how much of it is it out there, and how you do this is kind of just Google yourself. Like Google your, I know it's kind of ironic, but Google yourself, search engine yourself, dig really deep for information about you. And see what's public and what really isn't. Have I been pwned is a good one. See what data breaches you've been a part of. Like that's another thing that I would look into. And what this is what I did is first I went and deleted every social media app that I did not use. I like. This is 2015. I deleted my Facebook. I went in, downloaded everything, and then submit for a deletion in there. I don't even know where it's now because I don't have it anymore. But you can just Google like how to delete my Facebook. They don't make it easy as probably it was like a long time ago. But you go in if you don't use Facebook anymore. And you really don't, you're really never gonna touch it, just delete it. Download your information, delete it. But say in the, say you do need it, there's gonna be a, we're gonna talk about like, what if you do need it and you do keep it and et cetera. It doesn't have to be like all in one. You don't have to go that extreme, like delete all social media. Just delete the social media accounts that you just don't use anymore. I think it's a good way to do digital cleanup, like spring cleaning, is to go through your stuff and just delete stuff you don't need. Delete apps you don't need. It's, really, it's going to save you storage and your battery life and the collection that it probably has. Even if you're running something as private as GrapheneOS, nothing's going to be perfect. There's many, many ways to fingerprint you in modern society. So that's just something that I would keep in mind is if you're not, if you haven't used the app in like 4 months, 5 months, just delete it. It's, it's the best thing. Same thing with like all your social medias. If you haven't really, if you're just keeping it because you just don't feel like it, what's the point of keeping it? Now, what I would do after going through all my social media, Googling myself, finding out where data breaches, deleting social media I don't need, then the second step is social media that you do use and how to protect it. Obviously, set a strong password. Don't even give the real information. Like, don't give your actual birthday. You don't have to. Everyone knows your birthday. You know what I mean? Like, or just use an alias name that people, like your friends, know you by or something. And then private all your accounts. That is a good step in a security sense, so people can't just gather information about you. And then the people that are on your friends list, you can still, at least they know, like on your friends list, you know that they know. Go through your friends list, clean up stuff, people that aren't, like, you really aren't close with, and just get rid of them. And then clean up your profile. I would say put 2FA on there if you can, if they support it, especially like using, like, if they support FIDO, like 2FA keys, even better. If not, just get a YubiKey or a nice good one-time OTP, one-time passcode authenticator app. Like, I use Aegis. There's Google's authenticator, etc. I mean, just pick something and put 2FA on your account. That is, and then, like, that's just like good security hygiene in general, beyond the privacy part. But if you can get rid of most of all social media, then that is going to be many steps ahead. Private, just privating your social media, it's not going to protect you against, like, the data collection. It's just gonna, I believe, if Facebook did say in a, like, they could scrape pretty much all profiles, even if they're private. It's so I would say at very least also minimize what real information. Just falsify stuff, like fake stuff. Put a fake, go back to usernames like super blaze it 420 man. No one's gonna care. It's not like it's public. And the thing about that is, like, social media public, these your job and can look it up if it's public. All this cringe stuff, like, where they can just be like, hey, he posted 420 blaze it like six months ago, fire him, whatever. That's the goal. It's just minimize your digital footprint by just A, not having it, or B, privating it. Now, after you go through the steps of Googling yourself, finding websites that have your phone number, and finding, like, it's an XYZ database, there are some options you can do that will essentially, you can either pay or do it for yourself for free. Spoiler alert, most of the paid options just aren't really that good, apparently. They're, like, not as effective as, like, you just going out and doing yourself, especially they're expensive. This isn't a sponsor or anything, but, like, easy opt-outs is apparently relatively good, like, relatively effective. They cost $20 a year, and you should just do it yourself. Now, doing it yourself is going to be very time-consuming in the beginning, but then it becomes easy. So this is what I would do. I would go get some, like, easy opt-outs, or delete me, or whoever. Pay for the service. Yes, you're trusting them with your data, but you're trusting, what would you rather trust? One company or hundreds of companies? You know what I mean? So go do that, and as they're cleaning up your digital footprint, you do it too. Consistently. Just for, like, try for the first year. Or for the first couple months, 6 months. After them, like, after pay for a year, let them clean up, send you a report, and then just go through, like, every couple, like, months, just go through it and just make sure that it's being held accountable. Because from what I understand is these data brokers, there's no laws forcing them to erase it. They'll just sell it to, like, someone else, and then they'll have it, and then you have to go find track that person down. So just constantly, like, scan just for yourself, like, consistently. And then after you start doing that, stop handing out your real number. Like, stop handing out your number in general. I would get I would keep my old number and make everyone think that that number is my new number. Make everyone think that number is attached to me. Sure, whatever. And I would get a ghost number, an anonymous, quote unquote, anonymous number. One that is strictly for very close people, private. Very private, very close people. Take your known number that's known by you, put it in Google Voice, or pay for like a dirt cheap VoIP provider like once a year or whatever, port your number to it, and then have that forward all your texts and calls to your true number. You never reveal your true number. This will be now your number. 2FA codes, if you can avoid SMS 2FA, love of fucking fuck, man, that needs to go. I don't even know why that's still a thing in 2024, but whatever. But this old number is your now your dummy number, and the new number is your true number. You never want to reveal your true number to anyone. You want to keep it as separated as possible, and you just keep the dummy number in public view. After you do that, you just essentially start cleaning up stuff. Like for like social media sites too, switch the info that you are keeping, or if you cannot delete it for whatever reason or they make it impossible, switch it out for a masked email service. There is my sudo. Apple has hide my email. There is a non-addy dot addy. There's so many masked email services out there. My sudo has it. Simple login if you pay for Proton, and then again, you will not hand out your true email. You will hand out your dummy email, or you will hand out your old Gmail. If you just keep your G that Gmail as a non is it's that's it's active. That's what makes it active, is you hand out that. You don't hand out your true email anymore. You don't hand out your true number. You keep those private and for very selected friends only, and close family members, and your partner. 'Cause then you can just use Signal. It's what you should use. It's probably the best thing to use. That's like, and you don't have to give out your number with Signal. That's what's good about it. Now I know everyone's like, they need to get rid of the number requirement. Well, okay, we got usernames now. We don't have to hand out our true identity. You can just buy an anonymous number. That's the point. I use Stealth. Not a plug. It's not a sponsor. Just a plug. They get you numbers. They're really cheap. They get you like it's like there's ways you can get it. I use Monero pretty much to buy everything digitally that I could possibly think of. Silentlink is another one. Stealth worked with Telegram. I think like the one time I used it for just to see go on Telegram and see something. And then I used Monero for Sats, SMS, SMS Monero something. Monero for that was an interesting company. It didn't really. It was kind of bad. Stealth was probably the only one that was very good. There's Bitrefill. You can use Lightning. They accept Lightning, Bitcoin. I think they accept Monero. I'm not entirely sure. KYC.notme is a really good website where you get a lot of services where it revolves in no KYC. Now, you ask, what? How would I get packages off of line, offline, online, on the internet? Well, that's simple. All you do to get packages is, you could just really just buy everything, in person and cash, preferably if you're that extreme. But you could just take a step back. There's forwarding services that will do the shopping for you. They charge a fee, and then they'll ship it anywhere that you need. Now you should just get a PO box or use Amazon Lockers. Tell them to use the Amazon Locker. They're relatively way more private because you don't need an account for them, I believe. Or if you're doing a forwarding service, they can just forward it to a Amazon Locker. Boom, more private. Or you can just get a PO box. I mean, PO boxes are pretty cheap, as long as you're not shipping like huge things, and it no one knows your address is attached to it. You just can't do a lot with PO. Some like you can't open like a bank or anything. The thing about the privacy thing is, if you're using, it's kind of like if you're using a VPN to log into your bank already fucking knows who you are. It's kind of retarded. If it's like when people are like, I don't want my bank to track me, and it's like your bank already knows who you fucking are. This is stupid. It's such a stupid argument. It's like when you actually think about it for a minute, it's really retarded to actually care. Just don't have a bank at that point. But good luck. So, or like when you're logging into your, you go into Tor, you go into a deep silent bunker, and you go into Tor, and you have like an 18-layer super VPN service, and you log into your Facebook, and it's like, all right, you're fucking stupid. You just like defeated the whole purpose. The point of good OPSEC is to never correlate your private identity with your online identity, with your public identity. You're supposed to have treat yourself like cubes. Everything needs its own container. Like there's certain online websites I go to that don't require a login, like, or don't require a username, etc. So like it's like I can get away with like no one knowing who I am here, because as long as you have good OPSEC and you're not revealing too much of a personal information. But that's how it's supposed to be. It's how you're supposed to essentially do it. This is where threat modeling comes in. Your threat model should always be based on real expectations. If you think you like, if you're like hiding from, like, you think you need to hide from the FBI or like the international police of your country or the CIA or blah blah blah, you should probably get off. You exit this podcast now and then go get some real solutions. There is, but if you're gonna be somewhat of a rational person and understand that, hey, I just don't like the corporate surveillance in my country. Now, if you obviously live in a country that's like heavily censored and they ban the use of like Tor VPNs or like private ways of communication, security, etc. Secure ways of communication, then yeah, obviously that's a real issue, and I hope you find a way around it. I mean, it's pretty fucked, and I know it's not like every place, and it's it does exist, but vast majority of people just live in probably like maybe like slightly censored countries or maybe like pretty heavily surveilled countries at most. Obviously, just know the real expectations that you have. I mean, if there are people that are like literally avoiding like governments, censored, or heavily surveilled countries where it's like, life threatening, I'm pretty sure they already know what they're doing because they haven't been caught yet because they're still doing it. Or not. I think the vast majority of people that I run into that are in the US, they think that they've been hacked, or like they're being like the government's following them and like trying to arrest them. Like, they're like gang stalking, and it's like, my dog, they would have just taken you in by now. They don't need to build a case. The feds don't need to build a case against you. Take your meds and go to sleep. I generally think that the vast majority of people think that they're getting hacked, or they're saying, they'll be like, I've been hacked, and then like they're like, well, do you have a bad password? What's been hacked? You ask these questions, and they like these people have never like an answer, and you just like it's just like kind of ruins the whole, I guess, like the progressive movement of the progression. Sorry, the progression. The progress. It hurts the progression of sensible security and sensible privacy. I'm relatively optimistic that we are getting better tools, and we're getting more people that are valuing privacy and trying to do the right thing and the greater good. I think the greater good is getting better. The biggest problem right now is ship VPN companies over trying to do a silver bullet, and certain YouTube channels that and YouTubers that are shilling these products. I think that's kind of an issue, and also doing the most extreme, like saying the most extreme thing, creating like the shadow internet that's like evil, like it unreally, like common person, they're like, you need to Faraday bag your phone and use this custom ROM that isn't audited or secure by any means, and it doesn't, but it doesn't have Google Play services, and you're like, all right, you just whatever, fuck you. You just made that person's life objectively worse. I'm pretty biased in the Graphene OS right now in 2024. I think it's the most reasonable, just like Cubes, it's the most reasonable secure operating system that you can run on the Android open source ecosystem, and Cubes just being the most reasonable hypervisor to, you know, carry Linux in, you know, in a containerized environment. But again, we get into the weeds of people thinking they need super bunker military grade encryption, obscured Linux distro that hasn't had an update in 5 years, and they're like, I figured it out. And I think that's kind of like the problem. But back on topic on deleting yourself. Now, once you've cleaned up all your profiles, to recap, once you cleaned up all your profiles, you changed all your passwords to super long secure passwords made by a password manager that you trust. You can use like Bitwarden or like KeePass if you want to be like, you know, super offline. And there's a few other options out there. And you've obfuscated any information that is public about you. You paid or didn't pay for a deleting service to go through and delete all your information. I do have in like the show notes Michael Basil's site that gives you a tool to pretty much make this a little bit faster and a little bit easier, and not a lot, but like just enough where it's like less tedious, where you have to type in each and every site, which is important. You know, I mean, just your number alone, like I said, it can lead to a lot of, you know, public information about you. And you are starting to assume a separate online identity and, you know, your regular identity, et cetera, et cetera. It's good to do this. Reject social norms. When you go into a establishment, like, let me think, just some random store, and you get to the counter, and they're like, hey, can I get your phone number? Just say no. Just say no. It's the easiest thing you can do. If they push back because it's part of their metrics, don't blame the employee. Blame the shit company standing with a gun behind them to collect that data. And then just say, hey, I understand this is probably your job, but I don't feel like giving out my personal information. I value my privacy. And move on. Most of the time when I say no the first time around, I don't get any pushback. 99% of the time. They're like, okay. I'm like, I'm good, but thank you, but no thank you. And I know it's just them trying to, it's just their job, and they're trying to move on. Just like getting your phone number, where you're getting it from. If you have to give copious amounts of information to get a phone, to get a phone number, I want you to reconsider and go look at all the public data breaches from the big three telecoms in our country on a consistent basis, and all they get is a baby fine, and then it happens again and again and again and again and again, and how much information is being leaked out there should be alarming enough where you should be like, maybe I should just buy my phone with cash if I can afford it, or buy it with my credit card. At least it's one party and not six. You know, buy with my credit card and just move on, etc., or through my bank, like, you know, save up for it. I mean, many ways. The most important thing you have to understand is once this stuff goes on the internet, it's very difficult very difficult to remove. There's nothing protecting people or forcing these companies to delete it. That's the problem. And I think that that's where realistic threat modeling comes in, is like, what do you care that's out there and what you don't care? I, in fact, don't care for like certain things, like, if I'm in public and there's people taking pictures, I'm like, I try to avoid it, but like, I'm in public. But me going and getting like a graphics card or like just a sub, why am I giving you my number to get a sub? Why are you asking for my number to get a sub? And it sucks because like maybe you go there enough where it's like the rewards benefit you. And I understand maybe there's some financial hardship in a sense where you're like missing out because you are like, say you're spending money at your local grocery store and they have a rewards program and you're missing out on coupons that could be like somewhat financially like life changing, or are helpful in like hard times. It sucks because I don't think people should sacrifice their privacy, for some coupons. But if they need to, there is a solution. Again, get a dummy number or use your old dead number that is now in Google Voice or a VoIP provider that has maybe some better privacy that it comes at a cost though. And use that. But don't give out your true number anymore. Your real number, the one that you want to be contacted through. Use that dummy number and sign up for all the rewards because it's irrelevant. Give a fake name while you're at it. Fill out all that information. I mean, the sub shop doesn't know that you can be XYZ person that you just made up. They even have them online now. They have online fake name generate person generators where it generates an entire identity. It gives you an address, probably a, I think it's a real address or a real email or something, and stuff like that. Just use that. Because the further you distance yourself, it's just the better. It doesn't mean this is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean you can't give out your number to certain individuals for like, leisure. This is why you have to assess that threat model of yours. What am I trying to hide from? What am I trying to make better? And what am I trying to do as far as protecting like my privacy. Now, it's again, you're gonna have to relearn some habits, but it's a good thing. It's going to be like, I should probably not give out my email to this company. I should probably not give out my number to this company. And just doing that alone, just having that, or if you do give out, your masked email or your masked number, or, you know what I mean? Like, start rejecting giving out the real information for legal reasons. Obviously, don't falsify this stuff, like, if it's illegal, but it's just good to be able to walk out and not get spam mail and not get like 50 million, spam calls or like scam calls. And that's why, like, a lot of these scammers, I mean, they got all day. They just go in public data breaches and go online and get it. It's all there. Free. Sometimes free. That's the crazy part. Now, I'm gonna end it here on part one. On part two, we're gonna recap some more, and I'm gonna show and link and talk about some of the negative parts of data breaches, the issues that it causes more than it helps, and I guess the more or less the problem with social media and how it's handled this very poorly. I mean, we truly have become the product just for some clout. It's pretty sad. But I'm gonna end it here and I'll see you guys in part two.